In Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet, Koyama Hashem Elokai. So says Hashem Elokai. Re'ei es soin haharega. Okay, everyone on mute.
Time to mutate.
Okay, everyone's on mute. So says Hashem Elokim. Re'ei es soin haharega. Okay, remember the main topic over here is that. We're discussing the Churban Bayis Sheni. So the words over here in these psukim are not all going to be all that very pleasant. And here it says, Re'ei means to shepherd. Is a shepherd. Es tzoyin harega. I want you to shepherd the tzoyin the sheep harega, which means they're going to be killed. The tzoyin that are oimed l'shchita. It's a very frightening expression, calling Klal Yisrael sheep. Not just sheep, but sheep which are destined, which are on the way to their death. Let's go further. Asher koi nehen yahargun, v'lo yeshamu. The owners of the sheep, yahargun, will kill them, will execute the sheep, and v'lo yeshamu, and there will be no accountability. A very frightening reality where people commit the worst possible crimes, and there's no justice, no accountability. Baruch Hashem, and the people that sell them will say, "Blessed is Hashem." Vashir, and Vashir here means they become. We have to see much more precise. They become. I'll become rich.
I will become rich
through the purge for the sale of the sheep. Okay, we'll see a lot more in a few moments. We'll just run through the psukim very quickly. I'll give you some very frightening ideas over here in the Mefarshim. Let's go further. The shepherds will show no compassion upon these sheep. Let's see. I'm going to run through the psukim very quickly. And we're going to come back and go through everything in very great detail. Pasuk Vav, Ki lo yechmol oyd al yesh haaretz nim Hashem, because I will no longer have compassion upon the people who live in Yerushalayim. V'hinei anoichi mamsi es ha'odam, I'm going to cause, mamsi means to bring it about, to be motsui, cause it to be. Es ha'odam ish v'yad re'eyu u'v'yad malkoi, man will be conquered by his fellow man and by his king. The kitisu es haaretz, these your enemies, the Nebuchadnezzar. No, I'm sorry, not Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sorry. We're over here dealing with the Churban Sheni, and the kitisu they will shatter, they will break es haaretz. The loy atzil mi adam, I will not save you, my nation, from their hand, the hand of the Romans who are coming to conquer you. The ereh es tzoyin harega, and I will shepherd the tzoyin harega lechein aniyeh hatzoyin. Therefore, the poor of the sheep. This is a very famous pasuk, which we're going to discuss in detail. And I, at the end, will shepherd the sheep. All right, a lot here going on, which I don't know. Let's go through the mitzvahs very one thing at a time. Let's start again, very carefully, very precisely. Again, pasuk dalid with the mitzvahs of David. Pasuk dalid begins. Pasuk Dalet is on page, if you have the articles, on page 815. No, it's not. There it says Pasuk Gimel. Okay, you have to go to the next page. Koyama Hashem Elokai Re'ei Esoin Harega. Okay, it's on page 816, the next page. 816 Re'ei. Hamokoin Tzivolo Shehu Yire B'maaseh Uvipoyal Esoin Harega. Hashem is giving the command that there shall be someone who shall now shepherd the sheep that will be given over to the slaughter. Ritzoinoi loymar, tzoin ha'omed l'shchita, b'beis ha'mitbochayim, she'enen matzlichois legadel v'lodois v'lehonos mitzamron. Which sheep do you deliver to the slaughterhouse? You deliver the sheep that can no longer produce children. Sheep have two functions. Either they produce wool, and they can have lodos, they can have children, and they can do other things. And then there are the sheep that are too old to produce wool and have lodos, so those sheep you deliver to the slaughterhouse to slaughter them for their tzmit. So here it's saying something very frightening. The reason why these sheep are being it's not just a it's a very profound word what the Metzudas David is saying. This that we call the sheep, we call the Tzoyin HaHarega, it doesn't just mean it's a scary term. Oh, the sheep, you're slated for execution because you've misbehaved. That's not what it means. It means you're worthless. You're not producing anything. You're not of any value to the world. Sheep, the primary function is to produce wool, milk. They produce vlodos. But when you no longer providing benefit to society, then Rahman, then okay. So the only thing left for us to do with you is to slaughter the sheep and eat its meat. So the term, according to the Metzudas David, the term Atzoyin HaRega, is not just an expression, a term which means, okay, punishment is about to come upon you, there's going to be execution, there's going to be retribution, you're going to be punished for your sins. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that Klal Yisrael, you're not producing payrois in this world. I put you in this world for the purpose of accomplishing something very holy, very special. You're supposed to be an Or Lo Amen. You're supposed to serve Hashem. If you're not producing the payrois that you're meant to produce in this world, unfortunately, I have no choice but to send you to the Beis Mitbachayim. The Metzudas David is giving a very, very deep translation of the word Tzoyin HaRega. Let's read that one more time. Tzoyin Olayma, this means to say, Tzoyin, sheep, Ho'imed, L'shchita, the Beis HaMitbachayim. Why? I'm not just coming to commit genocide. It's because she'enon matzlichos legadel vlodos, because these sheep are no longer of the age, no longer in the situation where they can successfully produce vlodos, v'lehonos mitzamron, and number two, to provide wool. Ve'ein bohem is simen bracha, lahashir es balehen. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, the metaphor, you're not giving me nachas. You're not producing payrois. You're not achieving the mission that I have designated my nation to achieve. And therefore, unfortunately, I don't have a choice. Pasuk Hey, Yahargun. So the next pasuk says, therefore, Asher Koinehen Yahargun. The owners of these sheep will Yahargun, will execute them. Liyois Loy Lamachal will eat them. Pasuk V'lo Yesh Shamu. He's not going to suffer because the shepherds spoke a continuation of this idea. Is I told you when I translated originally that there's not going to be any accountability, they'll commit crimes against humanity and no one's going to go hold them accountable. But that's not what the Metzudas David says. Over here he says simply is that the owner is continuing the theme that he said in the first expression, that the owner of these sheep, they're going to slaughter the sheep because the sheep are no longer producing, they're no longer of any benefit.
Baruch, would Navi say that 80 or 90% of the Jewish people today in this world who are not Shomer Shabbos and not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and they're doing nothing in the way of...
Just because a Jew is not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah does not chas v'shalom mean that he's not a servant of Hashem. Just because you have today in the world, you're right, most of the Jews today are not religious. So what? Who are we to judge? It's not their fault. Almost every single Jew today is not religious. Is a begeder, a tinok shenishba. You can't blame anyone. Just the fact that you're a Jew, you're a Jew, and you do the right thing, that itself is the kiddush Hashem. Who are we to judge? It's true. There are many Jews today that are not shomer Torah mitzvah. So what? So they're not. It's not their fault.
Well, how would the Navi classify them in terms of?
That's for Hashem. That's not our business. That's for Hashem to classify. Here he's talking about, we're dealing with a very different time. He's dealing up here with, we have no right to go and judge anyone. But the Navi over here is saying, describing, according to the Metzudas, according to all the Mefarshim, the time, the era of the Tekuva, the Churban, Bayis Sheni. And during this...
Anyway, it's a group judgment, not an individual judgment.
Correct. And this is, again, this is not for us to judge. We have no rights to put ourselves in this position to judge anyone, but the Navi does have the right to do so, and he's not doing so on his own. He's doing so in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem over here is expressing his frustration that at this particular era in Jewish history, Klal Yisrael was not achieving what Hashem had in mind for them. And therefore, Hashem is saying, therefore, I have no choice, but I'm going to bring you to the Beis HaShechita. Let's go further. But then...
By the way, who's going to do that? He says, is Zachariah supposed to do that?
No, he's saying that he's talking to the nation of the world. He's...
My God. Usually you say Hashem Elokeinu.
Uh-huh. So he's saying Hashem Elokai. Why? Come Hashem Elokai, my God. Okay, I hear what you're saying. So says Hashem Elokai, my God. Shepherd. Shepherd over here means Shehu Yireh B'mas Savu Poyla Son Harega. You're right, we have to see more. Let's hold it off for one moment on that question. Excellent question. Who exactly is Hashem giving the command to? Since over here he's speaking to Zechariah, Hashem, my God, Yireh, who is the command being directed to? I assume that it's being directed to the world, to the nations of the world, to their Sarim and Shemayim. I am giving instructions that you shall take them and bring them to slaughter because they're not achieving, they're no longer at a state of being perished. Let's see more. Now, the next pasuk is very, very interesting. This is a very bizarre pasuk, very bizarre expression. These shepherds are going to say, Baruch Hashem, in the name of religion, okay? In the name of religion, Baruch Hashem, Shemacharti Dovar Sheim Bo Simin Bracha, Baruch Hashem, I sold these sheep to a slave, to someone else, because it's worthless. Uve Mechiroi, and by selling it, I will cut my losses and use the money to make better investments. Now, it's very frightening. Now, I'm really jumping ahead, but you don't have to jump ahead. But the enemies of Klal Yisrael, not only did they, Rachman al-Itzlan, harm us, they do so in the name of God. And that's what this pasuk says. Baruch Hashem, they bless Hashem. Look what we've done. We've cleansed the world from a disease. They do it in God's name. Okay, and the Islam certainly, you know, the Ishmaelim certainly they've done this. But if you study Jewish history, it's a very frightening concept to realize that throughout Jewish history, they pervert religion to say that their crimes against Klal Yisrael were all done l'shem Shemaim. What about Christianity? The whole Christianity is all in the name of God, the God of love. The God of love. We've spilled untold murdered an untold number of people and brought hate and the churban to this world, all in the name of God. Baruch Hashem. It's an incredible statement what it says here in this pasuk. We've cut our losses, and now we're going to take the money and make a better investment. Next words, lo yachmal lehen hoyel ve'emcham simen bracha. This all part of the shepherd. Hashem is saying, well, let's see, there's no blessing. Lo yachmal haroyel lehen. The shepherd will show no compassion laharbitzan b'nois deshem, to lie them down in beautiful pasture, ulinahalon al mei menuchos, and to guide them on pleasant waters to drink, v'lishmor kitzasan mikitzasan, and to guard them from each other, shlo yahadfun v'lo yidchakun zo ezo, to guard one from the other, they should not hurt each other. Now this is an amazing insight that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't even realize it. when we look at Klal Yisrael, what do we generally do generally when we look at ourselves? It's usually just us versus the Umay Sa'ilam. When we think about Klal Yisrael in regard to Hashkocha Pratis, I think 99% of us, certainly myself, we're always looking to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He protects us from the Umay Sa'ilam. Hashem brings about that there's a certain president is elected, or a certain president is not elected, and this event happens and that event happens. Hashem is guarding over Klal Yisrael. We're always looking to see the Hashgacha Pratis of Hashem in how He takes care of us, protects us, shelters us from tzaros, and saves us from problems. But very rarely do we realize that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, more often than not, is protecting ourselves from ourselves. In Klal Yisrael, there are many different groups. Hasidim, Snagdim, Sardim, all different types of Jews, the irreligious Jews, the Tzionim, all different types of Jews, and they don't see eye to eye on anything. And unfortunately, sometimes the dialogue is toxic, and the ability to come together and achieve something as Klal Yisrael can almost be impossible. Look at just a little sample of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael in the elections. Where they're going now into which elections? Is the fourth or the fifth? I can't lose track already.
What is
it's the fourth now? Where are they holding now?
Fourth.
The fourth, right? And they say
it's not necessarily the last.
Not the last, right? It's you know, there are 8 days of Pesach. You know, I told you someone whose name was Pesach. He had 10 boys. He was a teacher. He came into the class. He told the students, "This is my." He had a seventh child, and he told the class, "This is Shavihi Shel Pesach, but it's not Acharon Shel Pesach." My sister told me that. My sister was in Rabbi Pesach Oretz. You know, Rabbi Pesach Oretz, he was a legend. Rabbi Pesach Oretz. He was a teacher. He taught primarily girls. That was his specialty.
I had him twice.
You had him as a teacher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Twice in YU.
But his primarily he taught girls. That was his forte.
11 children, yeah.
And he had 10 sons. Eleven children.
One daughter and 11 sons.
11 sons. Oh, I didn't know that. He had a daughter. Okay. So my sister.
The oldest son.
Don't
mix him up with his brother, who's, you know, brother's kids live here in the neighborhood.
But when he had his seventh boy, he said, "This is Shvi'i Shel Pesach, but not Acharon Shel Pesach." So we're only holding by the fourth. V'yotzeisi, v'yitzalti, v'gualti, v'lokachti, we have a Hevesi, and we'll find some more words in the Torah, we'll have many more elections. What's going on over here? You can't form a coalition? No, you can't. That's exactly the point. This is just a little dogma. And over here, the Mitzvah stuff is something just Derech Agav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us from ourselves. There's a lot of Hashgacha Pratis going on within Klal Yisrael to make sure that we don't clash and wind up with a civil war. There are a lot of different factions in Klal Yisrael, and Jews are very passionate. They're very passionate about every little mishigas. Egg matzah? You want to see a fight? You want to see a war? What's the difference? Who cares? Eat egg bats, eat chametz, do whatever you want. Leave me alone. Everyone is very passionate. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an incredible Hashgacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he maneuvers the events of our own daily lives that we should not clash with one another. So Hashem over here, this is saying something very, very important, because the truth is, what was the downfall? It's a very deep thing what the Mitzvah David says. The Bayesheni. What was the downfall of Klal Yisrael and the Bayesheni? It wasn't the enemy. It was us. Klal Yisrael was splintered into three groups. The Zealots, the Prushim. I forgot all the different, the whole history. Go to the whole history of the Chum Bayesheni. There were three groups. Klal Yisrael was broken up into three groups. They had enough food. There was a siege. They had enough food to outlive the siege for decades. They had enough fuel and water and everything they needed. They just could just wait it out. Wait it out. The enemy cannot possibly, the Romans cannot possibly sustain the siege. They need food. They need supplies. They're getting bored. They're suffering from the weather, from the environment, from the conditions. The Klal Yisrael could have easily just waited it out and they would have prevailed. But what happened? The Biryonim, they saw we want to fight. And they went and they burnt down, they destroyed, l'hachas, all the food that would have sustained Klal Yisrael, that would have won the war. Why? Because they don't get along. Because these three groups that were, that these three groups that Klal Yisrael was splintered into at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni could not get along to a point where there was basically a civil war amongst them. And that civil war is what allowed the Romans to conquer, to win, and to prevail. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has Rachmanis upon us, you know what he has to do, you know what he does? He protects us from ourselves. And the Mela, we will prevail over our enemies. We think, oh, Hashem has to protect us from our enemies. The Romans are coming. So we have to get on the red phone and call America. Come save us from the Romans. Call our friends in Canada. Come save us. You don't need them. You don't need the Romans. You don't need the Americans. You don't need the Americans. You don't need Canadians. You don't need the Martians from outer space to come save you. All you need is get your act together. Or just get along with each other, and you have enough resources amongst yourselves to solve your own problems. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he has Rachmanis upon us, he injects Hashkacha Pratis to protect us from ourselves. And the Mitzvah David says that at this point in time in Jewish history, where he's fed up with us, what is he going to do? He's not going to no longer going to take the sheep and bring them to precious meadows and lie them down and lush pieces of land and give them delicious water. And then the Mitzvah says, and he's not going to protect the sheep from themselves by making sure they don't push each other and shove each other around and fight with each other. That's part of the job of the shepherd. Part of the job of the shepherd is that the sheep should all get along with themselves. You don't hear about that. When you talk about shepherd, you always hear about the stories about the one lost sheep. You have a herd, a flock, and one little sheep, it gets lost, and the shepherd is Moiser Nefesh. He goes on a hike in the hot, sweltering sun to go seek out the lost sheep, and he comes and he finds it, and it's injured, and he wraps its foot, and he puts it on his shoulders, and he carries it back. Wow, what a wonderful shepherd. But there's a much more important thing that the shepherd does. He makes sure the sheep don't fight with each other. He's the referee. This is what the Mitzvah of the says. It's on the third line. In the middle of the line, to guard part of them, from the other part, so that one rabbi should not insult another rabbi, and one rabbi should not curse at another rabbi. And they should all come together and sit on the dais and make peace. This requires enormous hashgacha pratis. You have the right person. You know, Rabbi Scherer from the Agudas Yisrael, he was this person. What did Rabbi Scherer do? He kept the peace. You read the book. If you read the book, you know the history. Rabbi Scherer was horrified that the Aguda in America, it should not happen to what happened to the Aguda in America, what happened to the Aguda in Eretz Yisrael. The Aguda in Eretz Yisrael collapsed because people are very different, Rabbanim, and they cannot see eye to eye, the end. But Scherer, he knew, he was a diplomat. He knew how to bring all the different groups together. He knew how to hold the peace. Incredible, incredible talent. And since his passing, it's over. Since his passing, you don't have that diplomacy to be able to bring together for a cause that is of benefit for Klal Yisrael, to bring different types of people together. It's a very, very great talent. Pasik. Okay, Pasik Vav Kiloy Echmal Oid, Ritzen Lamazeya, Luremes Al Yisrael Shahim Tsen Mari Isoi. Yisponach, this is a remes of Klal Yisrael that they are his sheep. Ume Utodim Heim Lahariga. The word Ume Utodim means they are designated. This is a frightening expression that Hashem's sheep are now designated for the slaughter. Bechurban Habayis Hasheni, as we mentioned before. Veloy Echmol Od Alehem Me'ata. Hashem is saying, I'm fed up. No longer will I show you compassion. Mamtzi Es Adam. I'm going to, the word Mamtzi means, what's a good translation? I'm going to bring it about. I'm going to implement. the plan. I'm going to create the circumstances where certain events will occur. Es b'nei Yisrael hakuriyim adam. Now this is a very important pasuk. Rav Michal likes to talk about this idea that we have in Tanakh the word adam and ha-adam. And atem kiruyim adam. Ve'ein umo yisraelam kiruyim adam. But other times we have the word ha-adam. And sometimes we have a chazal, we have this discussion. Sometimes the word adam refers to mankind, including the Gentiles. And sometimes Adam refers exclusively to Klal Yisrael. And we usually differentiate between the two with the difference between the word the Hei HaYidiyah, HaAdam versus Adam. Now in this context, we have a Hei, Mamtzi'es HaAdam. And here, the Mitzudas David, he's saying something which I think is not typical. This is not the party line. Because here there's the Hei, HaAdam, which in this context appears to be equivalent to the Hei HaYidiyah, it's like the Hei HaYidiyah, and he's saying it refers to Klal Yisrael, to the exclusion of the Umay Sa'ilam. I think usually it's the other way around. Usually we like to say Adam without the Hei HaYidiyah is Klal Yisrael. But let's leave the way it is over here. Mam Siyas Ha'adam Es B'nei Yishol HaKurim Adam Azmin Kol Ish Mehem Biyad Re'eu. I'm going to cause, this is what the Mitzudas David got, what he said before, I'm going to cause there to be strife. And you're going to do yourselves in. There were three groups. There was a very big dilemma. How to deal with the Romans. And should they fight? Should they surrender? Or should they wait it out? Three groups. And they could not get along. And the zealots, the ones that wanted to fight, the extremists, they always win. Extremists. Empty cans make a lot of noise. That's the way of the world. And the zealots were the empty cans. And they made a lot of noise. They sure did. They ruined it for everyone. So they could not get together. Adam ma'azmin called ish mehem biyad re'eich akam Allah biyad alav. Each man will fight. There'll be a civil war inside Yerushalayim at the time of the siege. And in the hand of his king, and in the hand of Malkoi, of his king. Who is his king? I'm not sure what this means here. What does it mean? Hechafetz lahashmidoi, who wants to destroy him. V'chein hoyi b'soif b'ayis hasheni, shemalcheihem hishmidum v'haporitzim nilchamu zebozem. Their own kings did them in. They invited, they had fights. Istorobulus. There were two families from the Malchus, Istarebulus and I forgot my Jewish history. And what did they do? They invited the Romans to intervene. They invited a foreign authority to make a decision for them, and that was the beginning of the end. Once the Romans entered to intercede, they never left. And they destroyed Klal Yisrael, so their own kings did them in. Don't invite foreigners into your land to help you make decisions. There was a very big debate, the Eichmann trial. So the complaint the world had against the Jews is, who are you to decide to have a trial? It's, you're no Gerudover. It's true, they are. You're Israel, you're no Gerudover. You can't be the one to put Eichmann on trial. You have to have an international court. You have to have a court from the Umay Sa'ilam. You're no Gerudover. This is still a complaint. So the truth is, Claudius, the truth is, there's no trial here. The trial is just for show. He's a Ratzeach. It's just to show the world, to bring out his crimes. Let the world, let the information be presented to the entire world. And Adaraba, you're gonna bring in a secular authority into Eretz Yisrael to tell them what to do, how to deal with a person who tried to destroy them. Out of your mind. You're out of your mind. This was the mistake. They were right. 100% Israelis, at least in my worthless opinion, 100%. You're going to go, you should cave in to international pressure to let Eichmann be judged by the Umay Sa'ilam, who hate us, who did nothing for us, who can't wait to see us disappear. They'll, you know what they'll do? Can you imagine if there would have been a trial, an international trial from Eichmann? You know what they would have done? They would have said, no, put him in an assisted living facility and give him $27 million, like Floyd. Give him $27 million. That's what they would have said. And give him a stimulus.
They would have said he's following orders.
They would give him a, send him a double, give him two stimulus checks. Careful. That's what they would have done. That's not the purpose. You take someone from the outside into your country that they should decide what's in your best interest. It's a kuchu tulula. And what's so sad is it's exactly what happened in the Churban Bayis Sheni. There's this liberalism, this liberal approach. We have a dispute. We have a major, major fight here in this country. Who deserves to be the king? Is Starobulus.
By the way, Argentina was arguing that they had no right to take him, to kidnap him from there. Also.
Yeah, of course, of course. Floyd also, they had no right. They had no right to call the police just because he's a criminal. You have no right to call. Of course. We're living today where there's a war against reality. A war on reality. That's what it's all about. And in any event, if you look at world events later, and now you look back, we have to go back and study, we're going to be forced to come back and study the history of the Churban Bayis Sheni. And it all began, it's rooted, where there was a very ugly dispute within Klal Yisrael as to who is entitled to be the king. Who is the authority? There was a division in the family. There were no real kings. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no real Malchus in Klal Yisrael, but there was leadership. There was the equivalent of Malchus, and there was a division between two families, and one family which split, and this got out of hand to the point where it was where the state was dysfunctional. Okay, no one was picking up the garbage. No one was, the traffic lights were not working. It was a dysfunctional society and it had to be solved. And the solution was, let's call in an international authority to settle the dispute. And that was the beginning of the end. That was a horrible, horrible mistake, which we should learn from. You don't bring in outsiders to solve your problems. You have a problem, solve it yourself. Once you bring an outsider in and you bring them into your country and you let them decide who is in charge, it's not a good thing. All right, obviously, you know, you'll show me different examples. You know, I can give you other examples of this in on a much smaller scale. Where you have organizations where you have strife and you bring someone from the outside, it's also usually it doesn't work out good. It never works out good. What is the solution? I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but let's go further. Over here, the Yad Malko, the kings did them in. Shemalkeim Hishmidum, their own kings destroyed them. The Haparitzim Nulchamu Zebozeh, and the Paritzim, which means the Biryonim, the lawless people, they fought with one another. Kamuskar bi Yosifun, like it is mentioned in Sefer Yosifun. Okay, notice the Mitzudas also cites Yosifun. Yosifun, as we went with before, is not Josephus. Josephus lived 1,000 years before Sefer Yosifun. Yosifun is a synopsis of Josephus that has been fact-checked. Okay, the book of Josephus, there are some things that are inaccurate. He's a very mysterious person, very mysterious person. Exactly who he was, to whom was he loyal to? The whole history of what happened, his existence. No, Josephus was part of the Masada revolt. I don't remember all the details, but his entire group commit suicide. And he was the last one, and he was supposed to commit suicide, but he didn't. Something there at the end does not right. Something over there happened at the end there and that story. And that's his beginning. And then from there, it's all, it's a very complicated story. Josephus is a very complex person. I'm sure there are probably many people have gotten PhDs analyzing who he was and his angle on Jewish history and his connection to Klal Yisrael and his connection to his loyalty to the Romans. He was paid by the Romans. Verdos hatameh hatadeah. And Sefer Yosifun is a synopsis of Josephus that's been written 1,000 years later, if I'm not mistaken, and it's written, it's relied upon by the Rishonim. Rashi cites him, other Rishonim cite him, and it appears that everything that's in Yosifun was fact-checked. It's fact-checked. They did a lot of extensive Google searches, Yitzhak Chochma, to make sure that the sections that they extracted from Josephus were correct. And there it cites a lot of the history. Okay, we have to spend more time on this, obviously. We have to really delve into this. We have to find time to prepare this information. And now we go further in the words of the Mitzvah David, Vikidusu. The word Vikidusu means to break, to shatter, to shatter.
The same as Vikidusu, Harvo, Sam Le'itim.
They will shatter their swords into plowshares.
They will beat their swords
into the plowshares. Know what that pasuk means? That we now understand what that pasuk means. What are swords? What is a sword in today's modern world? Nuclear bombs. The ability to take advantage of nuclear power. And what was it created for? To destroy the world. What is a plowshare? Food, energy, for benefit of man. So today we're living in times where we're taking nuclear power and we're using it not to destroy the world. We're using it to produce energy, to produce medical equipment. We're living in the times of Mashiach. They're going to beat, they're going to shatter their swords into plowshares. A sword is a symbol of churban. A plowshare is a symbol of blessing. Food, energy, medicine. And today, the weapons that have been created to destroy the world are being used for all different good things. They're still making plenty of nukes. Don't kid yourself. But they're also using this technology, obviously, for many, many beneficial things for society that are equivalent to a plowshare. Did they ever know what that meant in time of Chazal? Go back 2,000 years ago. And the Navi said those words, V'chitesu charboisam le, what's the pasuk of Michal?
Le'itim.
So could they possibly see the year 2021 and understand what that, and what we just said? To understand what they said? What I just said is pashup shat. You know, argue with me on this. It's pashup shat. That today, the nuclear power.
Okay, so all right, so that was their weapons of war.
But it's in those times, in those their day and age, did they take a sword and use the plowshare? The whole thing doesn't have any meaning. Today, it has a lot of meaning. It has an enormous amount of meaning. Nuclear power today is that's the name of the game. All the technology, this technology that really was developed to destroy the world, is being used to bring enormous blessing to this world. V'chidesu.
There was another v'chatet, v'chitat et nechash anechoshet, shasa Moshe. I said to Yoshiyahu, one of the kings, because they started to worship it.
He crushed it, he shattered it. Correct.
Yeah.
And the kings will, and the kings and the evildoers, they will crush the people below Atzil as mi miyad horgav. I will not save them from themselves and from their enemy. This means to say, since the Jewish people are designated for death, Mali lehatzilam kitzasan mikitzasan. This is an amazing thing. What he says over here, how he reads Pshat in the pasuk, is amazing. You don't hear this. Don't talk about this. Is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing Klal Yisrael to be harmed by the Umma Sa'ilam, the Hashkacha is being removed, he then also removes his Hashkacha from protecting one element of Klal Yisrael from another. It's a very frightening thing, because we don't look at it like that. When we, Rachman wants them to see that we're in trouble, the Umma Yisrael are making trouble for us. We're afraid Iran is doing this, and Hezbollah, and Syria, and the United States is not nice to us. So Hashem, for whatever reason, is hiding himself. He's sending us a message. Okay, so we have to guard ourselves from the Umma Yisrael. But amongst ourselves, the different elements, the different parts of Klal Yisrael, we don't have to be on guard. We don't have to worry that one group of Jews is going to insult and step on, you know, and harm. It's all the same. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset and he is showing his displeasure with us, and we can see clear messages in how the Umma Yisraelim are looking at us and treating us, that means that within our own ranks, and there are very different groups in Klal Yisrael that really don't get along and see things very different, and it's very difficult, and we need enormous siyata d'shmaya to stay together as one nation, that glue is coming apart as well. It's all the same. When you see from the outside that we're in trouble, that's just that, that's telling us that from the inside, we're even in more trouble. Because when there's a hashkacha of protection, it's all around. It's from the outside, foreign policy and domestic policy. And if you see that we are in trouble in regard to the foreign policy, you know what that means? You can be certain that we are in trouble regarding domestic policy amongst ourselves. It's incredible how he reads it into the pasuk, because he's learning over here. He's teaching here. Go back, read the pasuk. Read the pasuk inside. The middle pasuk vav. Hashem is saying, I am mamzi. I'm going to bring about es ha'adam. The word ha'adam in the understanding of the mitzudos means klal Yisrael. Amongst the Jewish people themselves, I'm going to bring it about, or allow it to occur, ish biyad re'eu, civil war, no peace. Rabbanim will not get along with one another, segments of Klal Yisrael will not get along with one another, uviyad malkoi, and their own leaders will do them in. Their own leaders will do horrible things just for whatever they could, because of revenge or whatever it is, because of their own personal agenda. V'chitesu es ha'aretz, and the people themselves will shatter their own land. This is not the enemy. This is not the Umma Sa'ilam. How could it be? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow this to happen? That there's infighting? Where is the Hashkacha? There always should be infighting. The natural state of life is chaos. That's the natural state of life. You need hashkocha pratis to prevent chaos. People think that the natural state of life is bliss and peace and harmony. It's man that makes trouble. Alokim asa es hadam yashar vehem bikshu chishbonois rabbis. That's not what that pasuk means. That's not what the pasuk means. The natural state of this world is chaos. That's the way it is. You need enormous blessing for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to coordinate the chaos that we can survive and we can coexist peacefully. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes his influence, then chaos breaks out. And that's exactly what's happening. And we are disturbed. Why? Why is there chaos within our own ranks? And the next three words, according to the Mitzudis David, give us the answer. And this is an incredible interpretation. V'lo yatzil miyodam. I will not intervene and save one Jew from the attack of another Jew. Why? Mitzudis David. Because I will not save one Jew from the attack of another Jew. Since anyway, the Umay Sa'olim are coming to get us, we're anyway designated to be killed. So why should I protect them from one another? Their end anyway is near. So they're totally, it's there are two different areas of Ashkocha Pratis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shelters us with, from the Umas HaOlam and amongst ourselves. And if we see that one is a problem, that's an indication that the other one is also a problem. And we shouldn't be fooled in thinking we have a good here and not good there. No, it's all the same. Pasuk Zayin. Vo'ereh, Siper HaNavi, Shekin Osa Kasher Tzivo Hashem. Now he's telling us that he did what Hashem told him to do. He followed Hashem's directive. V'ro'os Atzoyin Ho'emedes L'Ariga B'Beis HaMitvachayim. And he's shepherd. Over here, it seems over here, this is Rav Kalman asked the question in the beginning, who exactly is the Navi talking to? Who is Hashem talking to? So it appears that Hashem is talking to Zechariah, and he's telling them to take the sheep. I think what he's saying over here is that this is a dogma. This was a classic example of a Navi, when there's a prophecy, you do a Maisa to make the Nevuah, to put the Nevuah in motion. Someone told me this year, he told me that there was a guy in Yeshiva, whatever, it goes back a couple of years, he told me the story, an older Bacher, and he wasn't getting married. So on Purim, so the Rosh Yeshiva, he took another Rosh Yeshiva with him, and he said to the Bacher, you know, we want you to get married, giving you a bracha to get married, and we have to do a maisa to put this in motion. So right now, we're going to practice walking down to the chuppah. So one Rosh Yeshiva puts his arm around one side, and the other around the other side, and they forced him, and they were marching with him back and forth. We're going down the chuppah. We're giving you a bracha, and we're putting the bracha in motion. A dogma. It's not just enough to give a bracha. You have to put the bracha in motion. So the Nevi'im, where does this come from? This cute little thing that they did. It comes from Navi. These Rashi Yeshivas must learn a lot of Navi, because that's exactly what where you find Hashem telling the Nevi'im to do. Hashem tells the Nevi'im, Yecheskel, lie down on your side for 90 days, 40 days, lie down on the right side, for the other 100 and whatever days, lie on the other side, and do this. And each thing that you're doing is symbolic. So just tell me the story. Why do I have to actually do it? That's the way the world works. You have to do a maisa. You have to do a dogma in order to bring it forth. For some people, maybe it's a multimedia presentation. Don't just get up and shul and give a drasha. You gotta demonstrate. Remember Phil Donahue? He was one of the first people to run around the audience, run around and give a talk show instead of sitting in a chair like a normal person. I'm a shugana, run around, right? You run around and you have to wake the people up. You have to do a maisa to bring it forth. So over here it would appear that Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling over here, the mashal over here is Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael is the tzayin, and days that are not good are coming. He's trying to wake us up, and Hashem is telling, I want you, Zechariah, not just to get up and give a nice speech. I want you to demonstrate. I want you to go and seek out some sheep that are no longer productive. And I want you to show Klal Yisrael, look, you see these sheep? They're no longer productive. Look, it doesn't produce wool. It's too old to have children. You know where I'm taking it? I'm taking it to the slaughter. And while I take it to the slaughter, notice they're misbehaving. They're shoving one another. One sheep is kicking the other. Who cares? Let it show. I don't care. But it's bleeding. It's hurt. It's injured. Who cares? 5 minutes, they'll all be dead anyway. And then he turns to Klal Yisrael and says, you know who these sheep are? You. You're the sheep. So it ain't a doime when you present a dogma in real life. It hits home. It hits home when you actually see, you see something. So it appears that's what he's saying over here. Bo'eres atzon harega. Zechariah says, I obeyed Hashem's command. Pasuk Zayin. What does this mean? Now, I don't know what he means. It's chomalti. Therefore, aniye hatzoin. I shepherd the sheep. Therefore, aniye hatzoin. Let's go read maybe a little bit further. I had rachmonis on the sheep. Let's go further. Let's see how he follows through this. On pasuk, on page 890, we're coming out to a very famous pasuk. I took, for the purpose of fulfilling Hashem's command, two sticks. Shnei maklis. Noyam hoyenon v'loy hichiv b'hakosoy. One was pleasant. I did not hit with it. Choyvlim, ki hoye mechabel u'mashchis u'machiv harbe. And the other one I called choyvlim, which means that it is damaging. It's very mighty and large and has spikes. Vo'ere, now he explains, he puts the whole thing together. Vo'ere, be'elu shtei hamaklois. With these two makalois, these two sticks, re'isi, I shepherd esatsoin pam b'makal noyam. Sometimes I use the pleasant staff, pam b'makal chovlim, and sometimes I use the staff that was not so pleasant. Hakol lufi hatzorech. What does all of this mean? So here, obviously, this is extremely abstract, and you have to remember the first Rashi in Sefer Zechariah. Rashi, the first Sefer Zechariah, the first Rashi says that Sefer Zechariah is in a class by itself. The prophecies are sosum. The prophecies are riddles. They're mysteries. We don't really know what they mean. And it's all subject to interpretation. And therefore, every single one of the commentators is going to go and tell you what he thinks it means. And here's a classic example. You have a pasuk. And this pasuk over here, what's going on over here? And here the Mitzudos is giving us his take on what is the message in this very abstract, obscure vision. Ubol rames al hakoyhanim b'nei chashmonai. Shemoshtu b'bayisheni shohayu b'shtei hanhogos. The malchus towards the end of the bayisheni was by the chashmonoyim. There are two different approaches. Mitchila Mashlu Shloisha Bnei Matasyo Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Yehuda V'Yehoina San V'Shimon. Originally, at the time of the Chanukah miracle, there was no leadership amongst Yehuda, so they took over, and it was Noyam. They were good. They were pleasant. They were smart. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to be a good leader. They had to be good leaders. Umaseyem V'Hanho Goisam Hoya B'Noyam was pleasant. And what does it mean, pleasant? B'yiras Hashem. V'chishroin ma'asim, excellent. The ma'asim was kosher. It was with excellent. They won an Emmy for their leadership, for real. Not a fake news leadership. It was superb leadership in these very difficult times. But the acharehem, unfortunately, after the era of the chashmonaim, the first the leaders, the children were not as good. They were wicked. And it was all downhill from there. From there on in, it was no good. Now, how does this tie back to the beginning of the pasuk? The beginning of the pasuk starts with Vo'ere esatsoin harega. Lochein anye hatsoin. I'm going to go back to the Mitzudas David one more time on the previous page and analyze that pasuk Zayin. Vo'ere Sibra Hanavishkin Osa Kashat Sivo Hashem, he did what Hashem commanded him to do. The Ra es Hatsoin Hoimedes Lahariga Bebesabit Bachaim Lochain Anye Hatsoin. Now the word Lochain means Ba'avor, for the sake. According to the Mitzudos Tzion, the word Lochain here should be substituted with an English with the word for the sake of Ritzon Loimar Chamalti Alehem Le'oisam Ba'avor Ki Hoyu Hanichnoim VeHayirudim Shebuchol Hatsoin. They were the most humble, the most abused, the ones that have suffered from all the sheep. I did something to lighten what's going to come upon them. Lochain, for the sake of, he's translating, the Mitzudah stuff is translating this pasuk to mean, therefore, for the sake of these poor sheep who have suffered, and unfortunately are going to suffer more. They are called now the Tzoyin HaHarega. I prepared for these pathetic sheep two makalois, one I called Noyam, one I called Chayvlim, and I pastured the sheep. All right, so let's take a step back, and I wonder, let's read the psukim again very quickly, according to everything that we've learned so far in the Mitzudah study, which is going to be the foundation for everything else that we're going to learn. Pasuk Dalet begins, Koyamah Hashem Elokai. So says Hashem Elokai, my God. This answers the question of Rav Kalman. Why is Hashem saying my God? Because Hashem is giving him a mission. I'm giving you a mission. I want you to take sheep, and I want you to demonstrate. To demonstrate what the message is. Hashem, my God, is speaking to me. And what did he say? He said to me, I want you, Re'eh, I want you to shepherd Es Tzoyin HaHarega. Which means, as we learned, it does not mean I'm going to take healthy, vibrant, successful people and murder them in cold blood. That's not what it means. I want you to shepherd specifically. Select. I want you to select sheep that have no value, no market value. Now this explains why in Pasuk Zayin it says Lochein Aniyeh Hatzoin. See, Hashem over here is telling Zechariah, go to the market. In the market, you can buy any type of sheep you want. Grade A, grade B, grade C, and grade F. I want you to go to the market and buy grade F sheep, the worst. Why? Because Klal Yisrael have gotten an F on their exam. That's why. I don't want you to go to the market and purchase grade A sheep. I want you to purchase the grade F. Where A, go out to the market, purchase sheep, and start pasturing Es Tzoyin HaHarega. It's a term which means sheep that have no market value. They have nothing to produce. They don't produce wool. They do not produce velodos. All that's left for these sheep are to be brought to the slaughter. Go acquire these sheep. These are pathetic sheep. And that's why later in Pasuk Zayin he's going to call, because he's going to call these sheep the Aniyei Hatzoin. What should you do with now? When you go into the market and you buy these sheep, the seller is going to say, wow, today is my lucky day. I had a liability on my hands. I have these stocks I want to get rid of. No one wants to buy. I put them up on the market for sale. No takers because they're worthless. Wow, my lucky day. Zechariah shows up in the market. Asher koinehen yahargun velo yashamu. The owners were anyway going to kill them. They were going to kill them at a loss. And v'lo yeshem, no one's going to say to the owner, what did you do? You just killed you threw in the garbage your merchandise, your assets. No one would hold them guilty because they're not worth anything, these sheep. These sheep are just, they're baggage, they're a liability. If the owners of these sheep would have killed them, no one would hold them accountable, would say a bad word to them. And now, their lucky day, someone shows up and wants to buy them. So when they yeah, you want to buy them? What do you? I'll give you a nice amount of money. Okay, here, take him. Umoicherehen yoimar. And when the seller, the owner, who is now the seller, is getting money for them, the seller was willing to kill them for nothing. And now someone's willing to pay money for them. What does he say? Baruch Hashem. My lucky day. Baruch Hashem. What did I do? What good deed did I do that I deserve such a windfall? Someone was able to take off this liability from my hands. The Ashir, bless Hashem, now I can use the money. I can become rich. A regular shepherd wouldn't have any rachmanis on them. A regular shepherd wouldn't have the rachmanis upon them because they're worthless. They're not going to produce anything. So, period. The one who's going to buy it and the one who would have pastured these sheep would not have rachmanis upon these sheep because these sheep have no value. They're not going to produce anything of value. They're anyway going to be killed. So that's the situation. Period. That is what Hashem commands Zechariah to do. And now, according to the Mitzudos, Hashem is explaining what is the symbolism of what you're doing. The symbolism is the sheep are Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael are grade F. They have failed. They have failed to produce peiros in this world. And therefore, unfortunately, I have no choice but to bring them to the slaughter. Ki loy echmol oil al yosh v'ha'aretz nam Hashem. And not only that, and because they are slated for slaughter, in the meantime, until they get there, I'm not going to even waste my time with them. I'm not going to protect them from themselves, to guard one sheep from abusing another sheep. V'hine anochi mamsi as adam. I'm going to allow the Jewish people, they're like the sheep, one man to eat up his fellow men, one Jew to eat another Jew. Ish b'yad re'eu v'yad malkoi, even their leaders will go and abuse them. The chit is su es aretz, they will destroy the land, they'll destroy their own land, they'll shatter their land, v'loi atzl miyadam, and I'm going to sit back and do nothing. Why? Because anyway, in a short matter of time, they're going to be taken to the Beis HaMitbachai. And Zechariah proceeds to fulfill Hashem's command. I listened, I took the son harega, I shepherd them. Lochain. And now he goes on to say, and because this mission is such a horrible mission, it's poison to me what I have to do, but at least let me do the best that I can. Lochain. And because there's such pathetic sheep, Lochain, because for the sake of the Aniyei Hatzoin, I was still delicate in the Atzoin. V'ekach li shnei makleis, I took two makleis, la'achat korosi noyam, one I called noyam, because even though the end is going to be that this era of the Bayesheni will be a churban, but until that happens for 420 years, there will be some good times. There will still be some times of benefit. And for those times, when I shepherd them, I'm going to be very good to them. I'm going to be very delicate and shelter them, protect them with the staff called Noyam. And I proceeded to shepherd these sheep. So what he's doing now is equivalent to it's coming to an example of what's going to happen for the next 420 years. It reminds me of a story. I don't remember the details. I remember there was something along the lines. There was a Rebbe, pre-war Europe, when there were certain very holy people who somehow they knew what's coming. They knew it. How do they know it? I don't know. Ruach HaKodesh. They were very holy people. No one's going to deny they were very holy people who knew, had Ruach HaKodesh before World War II and saw the Holocaust coming. And the story, I don't know any of the details, but it made a Rishma being that I'm at least able to tell over the very little I still have left in my memory. It was Shalosh Shudas, it was in Shul, and there were these little kids, and they were running around, and they were playing, and they were making a racket. They were really, really making a lot of noise and making a lot of trouble. And the people sitting around the Tish with the Rebbe, They wanted to hear the Rebbe. They wanted to hear what the Rebbe had to say. And they were very upset that these kids, they were just way, way out of hand. And one of the Gaboim got up, basically, to lay down the law of the land and to silence these kids, to throw them out and give them a frask and put these kids into place and punish them. And the Rebbe saw them sit down. You don't know what they're going to go through in their life. You have no hasaga of what's coming upon them. The suffering that they're going to go through. I see it. I see what's coming. Let them have fun. Spoil them rotten. Because whatever you'll give them now is nothing. Can never ever compensate what they're going to have to deal with when it's going to come to them. And you read this part, this pasuk over here with Zechariah, Hashem tells him, they're done, these sheep. This is the tzoin haharego. And what does Zechariah say? Bavur lochein ani hatzoin v'ekach loy shnei makalois. Echad is noya. Nu, okay, I hear what you're telling me. In the meantime, let me have Rachmanis on them. Days are coming that are not so easy, but new. Zechariah, it's amazing what Zechariah says. Zechariah doesn't go take a stick to take the only the Chayvelim. He says, new, in the meantime, all right, it's coming to them, fine, but in the meantime, let me have some Rachmanis upon them. All right, we're going to stop over here. Mishnah tomorrow, we're going to do the Rashi and the Radak, Malbim. Take a very short break, come back. I want to learn some in Yoni Pesach, different topics, different ideas. We'll see. We'll go from one, a little smorgasbord of some of the topics.
By the way, with this kind of nevuah, we can see a na domash mi'al re'iyah.
What do you mean?
It does something like this. It's very.